We'll begin our adult Bible study hour this morning, so I'd like to welcome you today. Hopefully you all have sheets with you. If you do not and would like one, let me know, because I do have extras, and I will get them to you. I think I have one or two extras. Pat needs one. All right, just a moment, Pat. I'm going to go grab that for you. That's okay. I anticipate, because if I were in the audience, I can't guarantee that I myself would remember to bring this every week. Yes.
You want
the roll? No problem.
I got one.
Oh, you've got one. All right. Anybody else? All good? All right. Sorry about that. Thank you for letting me crawl all over you there. All right. So we have been long concerned about direction of ministry, about growth of ministry, about opportunities to serve, about outreach in our community, about seeing God add to the fold those whom we could minister to, those we could disciple, and those that we could see brought up in the Lord Jesus Christ, matured. And this particular Sunday school series, kind of Vision 2025, is all about that when it comes to our vision, our mission, and our values, and how we aim to do that particular thing, exactly how we aim to be and to exercise the God-given command to go, to teach, to baptize, and make disciples. And so as we look into this morning, we've covered last week kind of the idea of our vision and talked a little about that, and we'll get today more into our mission, which I know you see every single week on the front of your bulletins. But before we dig into that, let's take a moment to pray and thank God for being together and ask him to help us as we look into his word this morning. Father, we are so thankful for your mind. We're thankful for your heart that you show us, your mind which you illumine us to, your will, your plans, your ways, the way you've designed us to be. And so, Father, we pray that as a church body, you help us to have your mind, to operate according to your mind. Lord, to have your heart for folk, and to really wonder, and to really put into practice what gifts you might have given us and how we can best use them. And we would ask that you give us wisdom as we go through this particular kind of study, very interactive style study, that you would help us to think. And Father, that any answers we would put forward would be something right in line with you, with your thoughts, and Father, that we might have your direction very particularly on what we can do to see this ministry grow as you would have us do. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And so last week we talked a lot about our vision to be a vibrant Christian community where people can encounter Jesus Christ, where they can be empowered to live out their faith and actively serve the needs of those around us or them, really seeing lives transformed and strengthened by the love and grace of God. That's what it will take. And that vision had really a fourfold purpose, that vibrant Christian community, how we can be that, how when folks come into our assembly, they can encounter not just other individuals like they would encounter anybody else, but that they would encounter through us Jesus Christ. We talked about how the work ought to empower faith-filled living, that we could live out our faith on that Monday through Saturday scope, really with strength and power of God. And then we talked about what it might mean to actively serve, and ultimately the result then would be to see lives strengthened and transformed by the love and grace of God. We talked about that last week. So there's an attraction, there's an encountering, there's an empowering, there's a service, and there's change. Change. To be more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Change. So that was our vision last time. Today we'd like to talk about our mission. And as I mentioned, that mission is really on the front of your bulletin every Sunday. It's something that you may or may not see or look at all the time, but it is there. And let me just get through to that screen. Our mission statement. Somebody slow with the PowerPoint. I know, put way too many things in here. There we go. All right. So, our mission. What is our mission? Our mission is quite simple. Our mission is to reconcile man to God through the proclamation of the gospel for the express purpose of his conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. And that's our mission. Our mission has a threefold purpose then. As you read through that statement, there are three things in there that are purpose statements. Number one, we need to proclaim the gospel. We need to be those who are adept at proclaiming the gospel, who always have the gospel on our lips, who are always able to make a gospel conversation. And why would I say make a gospel conversation as opposed to wait for the perfect time for one to transpire? Why talk about that kind of difference? To make opportunity to spread the gospel. And I'll tell you why. Two reasons. Number one, that opportunity to just magically transpire seldom, if ever, happens. Number one. You could probably count on one hand how many times the gospel conversation literally just fell into your lap versus one that you helped steer, one that you helped guide, one that you interjected the gospel into. You found a way in that was natural, that wasn't awkward, and you led the conversation to somewhere where then that opportunity was available for you. So proclaiming the gospel is creating these opportunities wherever we can find them and asking God for wisdom to do that very thing. So proclaim the gospel. That's the first. What is the second purpose? To reconcile to God, reconciliation to God and man. Because Corinthians talks about both, reconciling God first, and God was reconciling man to himself, and then we understand the opportunity or the need to reconcile man to man. Because I tell you what, if there's one thing that stops the work of the gospel, what is it? Hostility man to man. Why don't we often share the gospel? Well, there's hostility on the other side to it. Why don't we often search people out to share the gospel with? Because they could be hostile people. So if there's anything that stops the share and spread of the gospel, it is hostility. And therefore, there needs to be reconciliation. First, the gospel of peace. Those hostilities between man and God need to cease, which the gospel does all on its own. That man puts down his arm or his fist, as it were. And then man to man, where we are able and open now, because we're in good relationship with one another, to share. And so there's a proclamation of the gospel, there's a reconciliation to God and man, and then the ultimate purpose of that proclamation of the gospel and reconciliation is for the conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. So let's start with the very first prong, the proclamation of the gospel. Here, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now that's all Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 15 and 17, as it were. And so what you have there is faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. So first thing is the transformational power of the word of God. The word of God has to be part of that process. There is no salvation without the word. Not only is there an ingestion of the word, or somehow the word is taken in, but then the word is given back out, because that word then is shared and preached. And once that word is shared and preached, it's preached to who? Well, there are people with ears to hear. And then once they hear, then there's faith. And after faith, more people are sent. More people are sent. And this is the process. This has always long been the process. How do we know this is the process? What did Jesus do with his disciples?
Sent them out.
He sent. He paired them up and sent them out. And they went. And they were amazed. And what were they amazed at when they went?
They had power.
Demons obeyed them. The sick were healed. They thought only he had that power. They thought that was a Jesus thing. Just him. Shocked and amazed. And I dare say sometimes you and I, we get amazed at the simplest stuff, right? Imagine doing that. Shocked and amazed. But there are people that are then sent. Jesus sent after he'd had a little time of training. He sent. What do we know about Timothy? What did Paul admonish Timothy to do? To find other men that he might grow them up and they might carry on the ministry, the nature of the ministry. They might share and impart the same truths to others also. Train up, send. Train up, send. Train up, send. Is that any less our responsibility today here? Is it any less ours? And that's really kind of our point, right? So our mission is to proclaim the gospel, because faith only is going to come by hearing, and hearing only the word of God. But how are they going to call on him who has not believed? And how are they going to believe on him who has not heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And so there is a sending that's necessary. And what's unique about this is, where are they being sent to? It's like, I don't know. Are you going to tell us? I don't know where they're going to be, where they're being sent. They're just being sent. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring the gospel, right? But they're not hauling people in. They're sending themselves out. There's a large difference, right? Because what do we typically do today? We want to hold Friends Sunday. We want to hold Red, White, and Blue Sunday. We want to hold all these Sundays, these special events, because we want people to come in. And we want everybody to flock in. We're going to hold this special meeting. We want you to invite all your friends because we want everybody to come in. And we figure we got this captive audience. This happens to be a convenient spot. Maybe they'll agree to come because they like you or not, and then hate you afterwards because they had to hear a gospel message and they're going to thump you. But anyway, they all bring it in. But the scriptural method, it seems like everybody's always out. And what happens is they add to the church daily such as should have been saved. So if these people are being saved, then they're being brought in to fellowship with the disciples and the word of God and prayer and all those things through the book of Acts. And so we have this kind of just backwards, right? We want everybody to come in because, you know, they're going to come in and the pastor's going to do the heavy listing. He's going to get there and say, well, this is Friends Sunday, so we're going to give a gospel message. And the pastor's going to do that. And then afterwards, we're going to call people to the front, and they're all going to fill out these great cards and say they want to make these decisions. We're going to have little counselors to talk to them, hopefully, or maybe just the pastor going to talk to them, whatever the case is. And then we're going to have this room full in the back, and then we're going to tell people and have this kind of mass gospel sharing, and does anybody want to say this prayer with me kind of thing? And we'll see what happens. But the idea is they're being sent out. And so that's our opportunity. Where are they going? I have no idea. No idea. I know through the book of Acts where people went. I can tell you that. I can tell you scripturally where people went. We have a historical record. But it isn't limited to the past. It is current. It is now. How shall people hear? How shall people preach? Except those preachers be sent. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring, that is with them somewhere, glad tidings of good things. And so it is for us to be out. So that is first and foremost our mission, is we have to be adept at sharing the gospel. So my question, right at the bottom of the page, what are the challenges to this? What are the challenges to sharing the gospel and being out?
I think there's a misconception today on the word preach. Many people think the word preach means for the preacher only, instead of for themselves. The word preach and teach mixed up. Didasco versus preach, evangelize. So therefore, you don't realize as Christians, it's our responsibility to evangelize, to reach people, to preach, preach, and reach, and then teach also, not just the pastor.
Amen, sir. Well said. Well said. So Evangelio versus Didasco, teach versus evangelize. Yes, sir. Well said. Well said. So there's a portion of knowledge in how it's used. Deb?
Can you just boil it down for me in a practical manner? We're in the grocery store and we encounter somebody to talk about the weather and whatever. Are we to be fishers of all man, or are we to wait for a prompt from the Holy Spirit or an opening so that we don't become that wacky guy on the corner?
Both. I'll tell you why both. One, because you never know what the Holy Spirit wants to use to open that door. So let's say I'm talking to someone in the grocery store and they're talking about the weather, and I say, oh, I'm just so thankful to God. You know, I got up and prayed about this thing. I always tell people, you know, when it gets below 70, I'm out. I'm not outside. I'm not doing nothing. I, you know, whatever. And so I really want to be out more. And I'm always like, oh, Lord, could you just shorten it up? And look at the weather now, you know. And so what am I doing and all that. That may sound a bit wacky because I'm talking about God a lot, but I'm still talking about the weather. And I'm talking about praising God at this weather. And then I might lead that conversation elsewhere as this person responds. And how will I know? You know, it depends on whether they immediately shut down and the Holy Spirit's like, nope, it's not time for them. You said enough. So I don't have to keep pressing, in other words. Or they'll open up and they'll say something else, which will lead to something else, which will lead to, and then you see the Spirit leading. But you may not know initially that that's what the Spirit desires. Sometimes you will know. It'll be that dead impression. Like I remember a couple weeks back, I gave that example how I took the Bible to that sheriff thing when I was deputy sheriff down in Florida. I had no idea who I was going to actually talk to. The Holy Spirit didn't say it was her. Just said, take your Bible. And it became her as we talked. So there's some different ideals there. The Holy Spirit can very much impress upon you, yes. But what we want to be practiced at always is having the gospel ready on the lips. Because I fear if we wait for some prompting we're unsure of, we'll be like Gideon. So you gave me a sign, but was that really a sign? Make the fleece wet today. No, make the fleece dry. No, go back to wet. Really? Give me some spotted sheep. Nope, give me some white sheep. Nope. And we have 12 signs now that we've gone through, and we're still saying, I don't know if this is the right time. And then we go back to kind of what Steve was saying, you know, we get in our own way. So just being adept to have the gospel on our lips and then letting the Spirit lead that conversation. Whether it shuts down, it shuts down. I don't press it. But if it keeps going, it keeps going. Does that make sense? Okay, I talk a lot, so you can just say, yeah, I got it.
It's very important. If somebody's talking about the weather, you can simply say, and keep it simple, I'm just thanking God that most of the winter is over and I'm okay. I mean, you can start with something as simple as that because you're bringing God into the conversation and then you can continue based upon the Holy Spirit and leading,
amen,
based upon the person's response or even asking.
Amen. Agreed. And I, yes, ma'am.
Preaching is telling a story. Who we are and why we're like we are, but it is just, it's like talking to a child. You tell a story and they, yeah, listen.
And I love Pat's approach because Pat is of the age where she is allowed to, when someone says, oh, wow, you know, you really did well by this medicine this week, and she's allowed to go, no, it was God. She's allowed to just kind of be frank like that, and people will accept it and go, oh, okay. And they'll nicely respond to her, where if I did that, am I too big? Get out of my face. So, you know, there are certain things that really lend well for folks. But and I love the fact that there are a couple ladies up here up front where I know the gospel is always on their lips because I always hear it. I always hear it. Every Sunday I'm in church, they're sharing it with me. You know, I always hear it. Yes, sir, Pastor Kamard.
Two illustrations, one before I was a preacher and one 50 years later. Working for Kalanchik Furniture, my daughter also worked for it. Not at the same time, she was with the baby at the time. There's a man by the name of Lenny Heathrow. We were the same age. I was in charge of shipping and receiving the warehouses. He was selling in the store. Our paths crossed every day. And one day I needed help to unload a trailer full of furniture, and so I called to the office and asked him if he would help me. And sure enough, he came down and did it. And in walking between warehouses, he stopped me and said, we're so much alike, but you're so much different. What's the difference? Be ready always to give an answer to the hope that lies within you.
Amen.
Because we were working, I said to him, we're not going to steal time from our employer because that would be a violation of Scripture. I said, can my wife and I come to your house and visit with you? And so it gave us an open opportunity. Now, while we were walking from one building to another, I was able to witness to him, but then a fuller witness at another time. 50 years in advance, I'm retired. Our funeral director calls and says, it's time for our annual funeral director's meeting and banquet. Would you give the invocation and benediction again this year? We went last year because we were filled in because the Roman Catholic priest couldn't do it. Okay, so I said, sure, we can do that. Opportunity to witness, just being there, and it was a vivid witness because the priest who was there, I don't know why, was stone drunk. Mm. And we were not. And we wouldn't take him by anything because this is a meeting of unbelievers. When you walk in, you get a little ticket that because you're going to give away door prizes. Amongst the door prizes are things we don't want. In fact, I don't want any of them because they're giving away cremation. They're giving away caskets. They're giving away...
Such beautiful gifts.
They're also giving away gift cards, whatever, Visa, and bottles of wine and whiskey. Well, we don't want the funeral stuff, and we don't want the wine and whiskey. Thank you very much if we get a gift card. So this funeral we went in, our church member, who's the funeral director and vice president now of this organization, says, all right, let's pray we don't get any of those items we don't want. Boobs. She was the first one that had the offer, or number four. She said, I'm sorry, I don't drink. No, we're all sitting together. Darlene was the second one that was called with a bottle of booze. And she said, no, thank you, I don't drink. And the third one was me. Okay, we didn't get anything else, that's what we got, and we refused it all. After the whole thing is over, could hear a little bit of chatter. Some man came up to me and said, one man said, at least you could have served it for communion. You don't drink. And I said, no. I was able to give a little bit of a witness for that and so on. And others came up and said, I understand you don't drink and that's fine and everything's okay. And but we thought, well, okay, maybe nobody's really listening. 1 week later, a lady from our church is in a quilting club with the president of this organization and three other ladies. Lisa, I noticed that your pastor and his wife and the vice president, Laura, at that meeting, didn't take the drink. Can you tell me why? For one solid hour, she had an opportunity to tell people why we believe what we believe from the Bible, and then gave them, the three of them, and they were paying attention to the plan of salvation.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yep.
We're supposed to be salt and light, and being salt and light gives opportunity for the gospel. It doesn't have to be me who leads them to Christ. We sow in water.
Amen. You sowed and you gave someone else an opportunity that you didn't even realize. Beautiful. Beautiful. Love that. Love that. So there are challenges to be overcome in some of that. Part of that challenge, Steve also mentioned, was the way through Scripture. For my kids, I do something very simple. I give them a little pocket Bible, easy, small, a little New Testament, actually, because it's thin. And then they know the very first verse to go to. That's what they know. In the margin is the second verse. Written in the margin. They go to the second verse. When they get to the second verse, in the margin is written the third verse they go to. They don't have to know anything else but that starting point. That's all they have to know. And the other thing that I showed them was way back when I was in college, we had Dr. John Getch. I don't know how old he is now or where he is now, but he used to be Vice President of Maranatha Baptist Bible College and some other things. He used to be an evangelist at the Wilds and stuff. That's where I first met him. But he challenged us in college, he came in as a special guest speaker for a class, to have a gospel presentation ready that wasn't necessarily our witness of what God did for me, but was strictly Scripture. From Scripture to Scripture to Scripture to Scripture to Scripture, because hearing by the Word of God was what he was telling us. And so to let the Scripture simply speak for itself. And all you had to do is read the Scripture. What does that say to you? Well, it says, they repeat back, next Scripture. What does that say? And the Scripture will literally, almost like a paragraph, read right from top to bottom to the end. And then if they had more questions or something else came up, there are illustrations of life and personal testimony that are easy to give. But it was a simple, it was an amazing challenge, and he wanted it to be concise, right? He didn't want it to be like 800 scriptures all across the Bible, because you would never probably get through that with somebody. But, you know, a simple Romans Road style where it might be 6 to 7 things, maybe max, and that's it. And then let them repeat back to you what that says. So they know, what do they know when you do that? You didn't tell them what it meant. They came up with it, so it's not your interpretation. Secondly, it's God's word. It never returns void. It'll do what it will do in their hearts. Me telling them about me might be emotional tug, but it's not going to be a spiritual tug. So there are things like that. I'm not saying don't give your testimony. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying there are creative ways to do this, very creative ways. And if we just know the first place to start, we can fill in the rest, and it's very easy. And that gospel conversation doesn't have to become a, I don't know where I'm going, or I don't know what I should read next. I got to point two. What was point three again? You know, this kind of thing. And then the people read it for themselves. They just read the word of God. And how do you know if the Spirit's working? Because they understand what it says, can repeat it back to you. And then because you can see the conviction build in them, and then they start to tell you, so this means I need to do this. Yes. You didn't tell them anything. So this means I'm this. Yes. You didn't tell them anything. They came to all these conclusions on their own because the Spirit illumined them. And so that's how you will know, how far should I take that opportunity? Well, if the Spirit's working, take it all the way to the end. If the Spirit's not, you'll know. They'll be done second verse in. I don't have any idea. I don't want to talk about that. Or whatever. Yes, ma'am.
Truth. And you have to be able to explain to people, well, why do you believe there's a God? Look at all this terrible stuff that's going on in the world.
Yeah,
how can a God, a loving God, you say God loves people, how can he allow all this, you know? So, and even lots of times you have to go back to creation, because we have generations of kids that were grown, that were taught to believe that, you know, everything just kind of flew together, and that you're on your own, and you do whatever you think, you know, makes you feel good. So, you have to really start with the basics a lot of times. And I think back to the man from the Gideon that was here this past year. And he was, it just stuck in my mind when he said they, at one point they were giving out Bibles. This was just in the past year or so at a campus in Albany. As an Asian student, when she was handed the Bible, she said, "What's this?" She didn't even know. I mean, so...
Amen.
A lot of people, you have to really start with basics and keep it simple, you know, like Craig was saying, you know, just interjecting, you know, the little things. And, you know, Pastor Kumar was saying, those things all add up. But it's a sad state of our culture, but then we think back, okay, look at Acts, where Paul stands up on Mars Hill and says, I see you have, you know, these gods, you know. And then you have even one that says, to the unknown God, well, I want to tell you about it. So they had no concept that there was one God. So he had to start there with them.
Absolutely. And it's not that it's not going to be a slow burn. It may be a slow burn. I know I'm simplifying, but, you know, oh, this will all be done in 40 seconds. Yay! Not the case. Could be years. Same people. But yes, sorry, Pastor Craig.
Principle is you could be religious but lost. Mm-hmm. And it speaks about being born, the physical birth. It speaks about being born again, which is the spiritual birth. It lets you draw the analogy to a person. Therefore, God created you with a body and with a spirit, right? You need to live your life in both realms. Why would you only want to live in one realm, which is 50%, and be half the person that you actually could be when really you could be a whole person? I mean, I always start with John 3:16 as much as I can, sometimes you can't, and then I take them over to Romans where the individual person can be saved, or I take them to the other section where the family can be saved when you're witnessing to them.
Amen.
And like you said, I have it on the margin of the bottom of my page, just like you have for your children, to decide, okay, which way am I going with this? Or do I need to go completely in opposite direction, like Sherry said, and go back to the creation process?
Amen. Amen. I love that. I love that. And this is this. Thank you. Yes, sir. Sorry, Pastor. Amen. Okay. Absolutely, it is.
There's the exclusivity of except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Amen to that. I'll give you an example as well. There's a networking group, because I run a bit of a graphic design thing on the side. There's this networking group that I was a part of, and for almost 2 years, actually a little over 2 years. And what I would do was in each presentation, because you every so often you have this 8-minute presentation you give, it's all about you, it's all about your business, it's all about whatever. But I was stepping away from that last year, coming here full time. So I stepped away from all of that, pushed that networking thing aside. But in every presentation up until then, I would always have some kind of little, how do you want to say, praise to God or something to God, something that always put God's name out there. And then I became president of that group, and you better believe, you know, if I have command of the floor, I have command what's said. So you better believe I was interjecting little things here, and they were very small, but noticeable enough that it would cause people to think and comment, and they all commented positively, which is great. Then from that group, there was a marketing coach who was like, hey, and so I wanted to take her process because I wanted to see how she was coaching people in marketing, because I'm a part of that marketing team that would come in with whatever marketing they needed to be created, and I wanted to see what was being taught to people marketing-wise. Through that interaction, because of that thing, I'm talking to this particular person one-to-one for an hour every week on marketing and doing this coaching, and I'm applying all this. I'm like, oh, you could use this in this venue, and you could use this here, and I could see how this goes here, and I could see how this works. And then I would share a little bit about, you know, that's really interesting you said, because that reminds me of a principle, and I'd blurt out a proverb. And I say, oh, scripture, sorry, it's a principle out of the Bible. And she became interested in all these principles because they matched what she was saying, and she couldn't believe there was an authoritative source that was saying the same thing that was before her. So, you know, we started talking these little Bible principles. And then from that, I started talking to her about the church, because now I was stepping away to go into the church, and she wanted to know, well, do we market the church? And I'm like, nope, we do not market the church. Period. But we can use certain principles. But we're not marketing anything. You know, we're not marketing the gospel. We're not out there to give Jesus Christ a big, cute banner and all this kind of cool T-shirt stuff. It's not what we're doing. But at the same time, what happened then is she became very interested in gospel. And so what does she do? She gets herself up one Sunday morning and she heads right over to Life Church. Out of nowhere, just heads over there. And she likes it, so she stays. 6 months now, she's been going there. She dragged her family there. Her husband now goes there with her. Her kids now go there. Now, is it my favorite church? No. No. But guess what's happening? She's dragging other people to there. And she's talking about Jesus Christ. And she said exactly the same thing. I was amazed that he just said 2 minutes ago. She goes, I was half a person. And I would purposely shut off this spiritual side of me. I didn't want to hear about it. I didn't want to know about it. I didn't want anything. And now I realized, why did I shut off half a person? Why am I half a person? Now I understand I am whole. And then she took her whole family and was like, do we all want to be baptized? And so they hauled over to the church, had their little meetings. Cool, there they go. And they're all over Facebook being baptized. What's happening? It's a slow burn process of purposeful interjections of the gospel. Did I have an unction from the Holy Spirit I should do that? No. I just understood that I needed to do something. And so I created small, very small opportunities and let them over time, let the Spirit do his work. And now I'm talking to that same individual because she believes largely in this ecumenical process. And, you know, everybody's fine. I'm like, no, everybody's not fine. Why did you choose Jesus? I asked her. Why was it Jesus over this? Oh, well, then she had to think about that. Then she started to realize. And so what's happening is in these meetings now, I'm kind of half meeting with her about marketing and half quasi-discipling her through things. And so we may one day, Lord willing, you know, see the migration from Life Church over. I don't know. We'll see. But the whole idea is I took an opportunity to proclaim. Because they're not going to call on him whom they have not believed, and they're not going to believe on him of whom they have not heard, and they're not going to hear unless someone evangelizes. And no one's going to evangelize unless they go. They're sent. And we don't need to wait for the church to send them, because who sent us all? You know Matthew 28, right? Go ye therefore. Who's that to? Everyone. Everyone. So this is the idea, and we talk about challenges because we have to overcome certain things, and we have to be the sent ones. We have to go out. We have to do this stuff. We have to be very adept in a gospel conversation, and that may require that, you know, we host, you know, split-off Sunday schools where we talk about how to share the gospel. That may require where we talk about gospel conversations and how to start one and how does these sound, and we have all this. That may require, you know, these are basic stuff, right? But it may require we do that. It may require we do that. And it may not, because some people go, oh, I got this thing. I don't need that. I'll be over here in this class while you guys do that. Whatever. But it may be we do that, and that's fine, because we want to overcome whatever challenges are there, and we really want to be adept to the Spirit of God just blasting through us, shining forth, because we are then become those people who lift Christ up, and if he be lifted up, what will he do? He'll magnetize. There's the attractor. And that's what we want to be, an attraction. Not a circus attraction, as Deb well said. Not like that. But an attractor. A good attractor. So that's proclamation of the gospel. My time is done this morning. I apologize. I really wanted to give you guys, I want all of these an opportunity for you just to speak and to think through these things with me. Because there's the word, there's preaching, there's hearing, there's faith, and there's being sent. And there are challenges that need to be overcome. And that's why I left lines there so we could write those out. And if you think of these challenges, please see me with them, because we would like to develop things to kind of help us mitigate those challenges. We'd like to take the direction of certain things and point them at those challenges to help us overcome that and be really good at just always having the gospel on our lips, right? A vibrant community, Christian first, where people encounter Jesus Christ. They've got to encounter him just like they literally encounter us. And they do that by us. We are the people they encounter, so we show them Christ. All right, enough of that. Any other comments or questions before we close this morning? You say, man, are these going to be all be that long? Yeah, probably. But that's okay, because we want to think through. We really want to think through this stuff. All right, then let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to look into this concept of belief and faith, hearing in the Word of God. And thank you for helping us to understand what these challenges are today and for having brought those forward so that we might now think, Lord, how would you have us to overcome them? What would you have us do that we might now have your mind and not just understand, but then do? And this we would ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed today.